After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her."
I think it was 2 weeks ago that Derek spoke to us about watch and pray. we're trying to keep in some sequence. And then last week it was the widow's mite. This week it's about another lady. It's an incident that took place about the same of Passover feast. And that's a major Passover feast, is major for the Jews. Although there were priests trying to catch Jesus out, they decided that it couldn't happen because of this Passover feast. There'd be an uproar if we disturbed the feast of Passover. You see, their feasts took precedent over many things. And although we know what Jesus came to open their eyes and to take away the law and give them newness of life, sometimes it kept them bound with their law. And they wanted nothing to do to interfere with that feast. So that was the predicament between the scribes and the Pharisees. But then this man called Simon decides to invite Jesus to tea, to a meal. I understand that Simon was a Pharisee. And I today would put him in the class of being a solicitor or even a judge. That would probably be his position in the Jewish situation. Advising priests and scribes and other political parties in Jewish with the law. These were very clever people. And to a degree, because of their ignorance, they didn't know how to get rid of Jesus, and they wanted to get rid of Jesus. But they had the people wanting them to know that they're against certain things that they were doing anyway. In fact, John the Baptist, I think it is Matthew, called them a brood of vipers when they approached him, when he was baptizing people. Did Simon invite Jesus as a friend, or was there an alternate motive? Was he there to try and catch Jesus out? Because that was their aim. Jesus says to Simon, in Luke's version of this story, "You gave me no water for my feet. You gave me no kiss of welcome. You did not anoint my head with oil. What was his motive then for inviting Jesus to the tea table? And bear in mind, there'd be other people there of the same mind. One, to some people, Jesus would still be a stranger. To others, Jesus would be a nuisance. And yet there was this tea party. And that's my first question. What is our motive when we invite Jesus to tea with other people? Is it to be popular with him? Is it to challenge other people? And that's the main purpose with our gospel witness. Is it to formulate a clique of favoritism? Or is it to enjoy the sweet presence of fellowship of Christ with his Spirit and Jesus at the head? Now there's a situation. Jesus is lying on a couch, eating from the couch. He reclines there. This woman comes into the house, standing over Jesus. Standing over Jesus. It also seems that anyone could come into that house and go out. It seemed to be open to me as I read this. It's very obvious that this woman was of disrepute to many in that room. She wasn't very well liked. They found no favor with her presence coming into that room. Other versions say that they classed her as a sinner and a prostitute, should not even be touching, let anywhere near, Jesus' body. And then she brings this perfume. I think it's called Narn, N-A-R-N. A very expensive ointment or perfume. And then she poured it over his head. And those in the room, whether loudly or whispering, said, "What a waste of money." And they were saying that because you could have done it, given it to the poor. You could have sold it and given it to the poor. But the story goes on. And then she wept. And the tears wept on the feet of Jesus. And then she wiped his feet with her hair. A very unusual visit. But also a very unusual visitor into that situation. I can almost feel an atmosphere. And I can't tell you what I feel, but I do feel that there'd be an atmosphere there with this happening in front and for Jesus. And the question was, the value of the ointment that she was pouring. And I say to myself, what value does Jesus give to me this day? How far would I demonstrate to people that God loves me so much that Jesus died for me and that Jesus has by his blood forgiven me? This woman was probably going to use some of this ointment for his feet, and I think she did in the end, if you look at the other versions. But her emotions took over. How much emotion? I always say, don't be ruled by your emotions. But friends, when you come close to the Lord and you see what he's done and you see why he's done it for the world, it sometimes brings tears to your eyes. Her emotions took over, and the love that she had for Jesus, and her tears flooded all over his feet, washing them and drying them with her hair. Jesus shared this parable in Luke's version with Simon and others. It's the same story. A man he went on with this parable. The man loaned money to two people. One he gave £500, and I'm using today's language for that reason, and the other it was £50 on loan. But neither man could pay him back in the parable. So the giver forgave both of them. The giver of the money forgave both of them. And then he said to Simon, which of the two loved the giver more? And Simon said, the man who owed him the most. Jesus says, correct. This woman has given me much love. Therefore her sins are so many. And because of her love, they are forgiven. And because she has loved me so much, she is forgiven. There are so many people today, they don't know it, but they need that forgiveness. They need their minds and their hearts and their desires, even of the past, to be cleared out and to look at life in a fresh way. And yet it needs Jesus to do it. We know that. Counselors have a go. Doctors have a go. Change the tablets, do this and do that. But friends, you know and I know, and we can stand and say that Jesus is the answer to our every need. In Luke's gospel again, with a little enmity, or shall we say anger, said to themselves, who do they think this man is? Only God can forgive sins. You know by that Jesus had forgiven their sins. So again, there was a question of what Jesus was doing. Our parliament in Great Britain are suffering with enmity. They're suffering with anger. Their double-mindedness within each other, in the company of each other sometimes, is causing them to not agree with anything. Not always telling the truth. Giving an answer on question time last week. I've only met him by sight on the TV for a few times. But Rory Stewart, probably the least to be called to become Prime Minister. But he answered the question that I've just given to you about Parliament. He says we all need love. Amen. And I thought that was amazing because that was a panel of people that were giving us all the answers that the Parliament needed. And he said, no, all we need is love for each other. Even the Christian church sometimes suffered with anger and enmity. I remember very well saying sometime, or hearing this said, they are not our kind of people. And we do challenge the barriers as to who is allowed to come into our Christianity. Why? Because of the past. Because we know what they've been like. Because of the testimony of their past. Or we may not even know that. They don't look right. The clothing isn't right. And things like that. And even their attitude doesn't look right. They're not our kind of people. And yet by our Christian principles, we believe that God created all men. Amen. The people who God sends to this church may not be our kind of people, but remember this. He's sending them so that they can become God's people. Amen. Not certain how many people could come here in this church in attendance of worship. I wonder how many we could accommodate in this church. Seems to be growing fast. And it may be we may have to look at the accommodation of this church, how to accommodate the people that's going to come. But we know there's plenty of room now. which person in this story are we most like? Is it the Pharisee who thought he was too good to be associated with sinners? Or are we like the uninvited guests who washed the feet of Jesus with her hair and her tears? They were sent with love and then anointed him with her best and most expensive ointment because of her love. The drums were fantastic last night in this place. The clarinet, the trombone solo, the trumpet, the flute, the saxophone, the French horn, the tuba, even the xylophone. And I can just remember most of them playing. But you know, they all knew the music that they were playing for the instrument that they were given. And they could play. We heard the solo without a conductor. But when they played together, they needed that conductor in front of them. And what a marvelous fragrance of sound, if that's the word, that we had last night. But the conductor kept them in unity and harmony. God wants our individual gifts that is given to us to be pulled together in his family, in the church, whatever you want to say. And he wants us to use our gifts, but he wants us to use them in unity for everybody that's involved. He wants to see each one of us with that wonderful thing of humility to each other, so that he can work through his spirit. So as this wonderful woman anointed Jesus with perfume because of her love for him, what spiritual gift can we return? To Jesus, to God. It's marvelous, you know, if you've got a gift and use it. But friends, if you've got a gift and you know you've got a gift and you're not using it, you or I will be accountable. Or that gift will just dwindle away. And God wants these gifts to be united in such a way that the Holy Spirit can have a freedom of movement amongst us and outside of us. So Deacon, through Jesus, and by his gift to us, the gift of Jesus, the Holy Spirit can work. So let us uplift and glorify the whole Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, through his church, to those people who are still lost. And it'll get worse. Unless God knows, comes through his church and uses his church. We are saved by grace. Do we have the courage and grace to serve? After I'd done all this, these two points came to me. So I wrote them down on a little ticket. As Christians, to ignore the Holy Spirit in our lives is a disaster to us and to the world. Then another one. We all know that we're going to be accountable to God, but we only know what we're going to be accountable for when the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. And allowing him to show us what we've got to change. What can you give to Jesus? It makes you think, doesn't it? Well, search your heart, because there's something there that he wants you to do.